You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, all right. All right, so here we are. Living it day by day, you are the superstar. And he says what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. This week, we preview the WWE Extreme Rules pay-per-view and also talk about Hulk Hogan's changes for TNA wrestling. My name is Jamie, and as always, I'm honored to be joined by my broadcast partner and tag team partner, David. David, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. We have some great topics tonight. Happy to be here.
It's a lot of great wrestling to discuss on today's show. And Dave, let's get right into it. Are you ready?
Jamie, let's ring the bell. World Wrestling Entertainment, Extreme Rules Preview. This Sunday, WWE presents Extreme Rules, and in the main event, Brock Lesnar has been signed to face John Cena in an Extreme Rules match. Does Brock's MMA career help or hurt his WWE credibility? I am not ready to see this match yet. I think it's been a little bit rushed. It was funny because we talked about this before, what they did with The Rock and Cena where we had 12 months of build. Here now, basically, within the month, we're being given this match. Making it an Extreme Rules match certainly opens up a lot of different ways they can go with this. We talked about this, Jamie, there's not going to be a clean finish. But I have to say, I have not really enjoyed the Brock Lesnar experience the last couple weeks. I was excited when he came back down in Miami on that Monday Night Raw. That was pretty cool. It's kind of petered out for me a little bit. I thought this past Monday night on Raw, his promo was awful. And as a result, I'm only kind of lukewarm on this main event. Are you excited for this at the top of the show Sunday?
I'm excited for it just from the standpoint that you always feel when somebody like this comes in that something special is going to happen. But I agree with you that his promos have been terrible. This thing has seemed very rushed. And I don't know where the WWE is going with this. I think it can't be a clean finish. And I'm just not sure what will happen. So in answer to your question, I'm intrigued just because I'm not sure where they're going to go with this thing.
Well, what are they doing with John Cena, too? I mean, he comes off this loss to The Rock at WrestleMania. And are they continuing to, like, break down his character? And now he's kind of scared of Brock Lesnar. This is not a side of Cena that I really enjoy.
Well, the thing is, the way they've played it with Edge coming out this week and so forth, it's almost like there's going to be some rallying behind John Cena to save the WWE. And I think maybe that could help Cena's character regain some fan support. I'm not sure if it will, but I think they're trying to gain back some fan support for Cena.
Yeah, that seems to be the direction they're going. To this point, I don't know if that's worked for me. Part of the problem I have with Brock Lesnar is I think he sounds like me when I was 12 years old. I think his voice doesn't match the body. And you know, one thing I wanted to point out is this whole sarcastic attitude, how he got John Laurinaitis to sign away all these changes to him. And you know, that was very CM Punk-like, Jamie, but he can't pull it off like CM Punk can.
Now, I question, what's the difference between Brock Lesnar, who obviously he was in the WWE, but had a long MMA career, and now he's coming in, versus like a Tank Abbott-type character? Because I'll be honest with you, they're both these big guys who aren't real good with the mic, and if you recall, I mean, we laughed away at Tank Abbott.
Right, well, but the difference, though, is that Brock Lesnar had success in WWE first, and then he left to go to MMA. And as I said at the top here, does his MMA career at this point help or hurt his credibility? To me, it kind of hurts it, and I'll tell you why. It was great that he went on to become heavyweight champion. It was not great that two of the last three fights I saw him in the cage, he got destroyed. I mean, did you see any of his losses in MMA?
Yeah, they were bad.
They were embarrassingly bad. I mean, I remember I was watching with a buddy of mine thinking, yeah, I love Brock Lesnar. He's a wrestling superstar. And he got punked. He kicked my ass, but that's not saying much. I mean, he got really, really beat badly. And so it's hard for me to kind of now see him as this dominating force.
Well, I think it helps the WWE from a viewership standpoint. Mm-hmm. They're not going to lose viewers because of this. If anything, more people will be intrigued to watch the show this week.
Mm-hmm.
But from a traditional wrestling standpoint, I think it does hurt. And I think that's why you and I are maybe a little bit turned off from this, because it's not necessarily the traditional wrestling that we like. It's more for viewership and, you know, to make the WWE some money.
Jamie, are there other matches on the card you're looking forward to? What about Orton and Kane or Daniel Bryan and Sheamus in 2 out of 3 falls?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to Punk and Jericho, because they are two fantastic technicians, two of the best in the business.
Yep.
I think the street fight element of this is kind of lame. I've never liked street fights.
Yeah.
I always think that street fights are for, you know, if someone's injured, put them into a street fight.
Well, especially because these two guys are world class, right? These two guys can wrestle better than almost anyone in the world, and you'd like to see that. They're going to be outside the ring fighting with chairs and tables and ring bells and Jack Daniels and everything. It's going to take away from what they do best.
Absolutely. I'd rather see them in the ring, put them in a cage or something if you want, but I want to see them in the ring so we can watch them do what they do best.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Have you liked how they've kept the feud going since WrestleMania?
Yes, absolutely. This is, two of the best in the business. Let it go another pay-per-view after this. I'm fine with that. I do hope Punk retains the title. I like longevity to title holders, and
yeah,
the fact that Punk has held this since Survivor Series, I think, is very good for the WWE.
Before we move on from Extreme Rules, Jamie, there's a free YouTube pre-show match. The U.S. champion Santino defending against The Miz. Interesting idea here. I have to admit, I kind of like it.
I love it.
Yeah?
I love it. I think it's great. I think it's something that they could use on the WWE Network if and when it gets launched to kind of draw people in before they buy the pay-per-view. A lot of these YouTube-type shows and online shows, I think WWE is just experimenting with things that they might try on their network. But look, I'm hooked. I'm going to watch it.
Well, one thing WWE should realize, I'm preaching to them like they don't know this,
right,
is that everyone's got YouTube. You know, they're going to launch this WWE Network. There's a possibility with DirecTV I may not get it.
Correct.
Right. So I think, you know, for the money or for whatever, I would put more effort into the YouTube channel. Have you checked out their YouTube channel?
It's very nice.
I mean,
it's set up very well. It's in a WWE-type environment, it's easy to navigate. Yeah, I think it's great.
What is the reason that YouTube channel, showing things like this pre-show match, showing things like house shows like you and I talked about, and you know, these other shows at Legends House, why not just do it on YouTube?
I think there's probably a monetary element here. Sponsors aren't going to want to sell advertising to a YouTube channel as much as they are going to want to sell it to a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Just due to buy rates and general traffic to those avenues. Dave, if you don't mind, I just want to go back to one other match that I'm looking forward to, and that's the Sheamus-Daniel Bryan match. If I can just point out, I think it was kind of funny, it was the shortest match at WrestleMania, but considering this is 2 out of 3 falls, it's probably going to be the longest match on this card. But I'm glad for that.
Well, let me ask you, because you brought that up. So you're right. 2 out of 3 falls, it's going to be a long match. But doesn't it feel almost like, okay, fine, but it would have been nice at the big show, the WrestleMania show, not the big show.
Yeah, I was about to say. He fought Cody Rhodes.
That they would have gotten their WrestleMania moment. Does this make up for that 18-second match?
Probably. I mean, they're probably trying to do these two a favor.
Yeah.
I think Sheamus wins it. I think that they want to put the belt on Sheamus for a long time and make him the star of SmackDown. Just don't know if he's going to get over with the fans as much. Daniel Bryan is the man that's getting over with the fans right now.
Is AJ just the cutest thing you've ever seen?
Yeah, she really is. And she grew on me. I wasn't there at first.
She grew on you, huh?
That. Yeah, she's there for me now, though.
There is a new tag team on SmackDown, Titus O'Neil and Darren Young. Interesting. Is this a good sign for tag team wrestling in the WWE? You and I grew up in a golden era of tag team wrestling, Jamie, and one of the heartburns I've had the past couple years is what they did to a team like the Hart Dynasty, where looked like they were going to have a nice run with the championship and basically turned around and they were just gone, and it didn't help either man's career. I like tag teams that stay together. I like tag teams that come out to this, you know, that, or they're kind of dressed the same like the Usos, and there's a feel that they are an actual team, not like Chris Jericho and the Big Show that are thrown together. I don't love Titus O'Neil. I don't love Darren Young individually. However, I liked them as a team. I'm looking forward to seeing them on SmackDown. What do you think about them as a team on SmackDown?
I think it's a great thing, and I hope that this continues. We've seen Zack Ryder partner with Santino. We've seen, you know, obviously, Hawkins and Tyler Rex partner together, and you hope that this is a sign of things to come.
Yeah.
I've often said that you start these younger guys out in tag team matches, let them get their feet wet. They generate interest from the fans. Take a look at what happened with Shawn Michaels and the Rockers, and then you develop their singles career from there. I agree with you. I want tag teams, though, to have a name.
So what do we have now? We have Titus O'Neil and Darren Young. We have the Usos. We have the champions, Epico and Primo.
Correct.
Who else do we have that are regular tag teams? Do we have other teams right now?
I mean, you know, Hawkins and Tyler Rex. They've been partnering for a while.
Yeah. Well, we saw the dark match at WrestleMania. It was Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel, and I didn't even know they knew each other.
Yeah, and I think they wanted to put that together, but I think Gabriel was injured at WrestleMania, so he's going to be out for a little while. But this is what they need to do. I would rather see dark matches with tag teams than I would two guys that I care nothing about.
I don't understand why Vince feels like he can't draw money with tag teams. It certainly was some of the best wrestling we saw growing up as a kid, and I miss it. I hope that we see a kind of a return to that. One thing for sure maybe we could both agree on is they need new tag team championship belts. Those are just awful.
It looks like they put some pennies on a belt. The WWE, on WWE.com, they take a look at the 50 greatest tag teams of all time. It seems to kind of lead you to believe that maybe they are placing a new emphasis on tag teams. Again, I certainly hope so.
Yeah. I wasted an hour at work the other day reading the 20 they already showed on there. That's incredible.
So exciting.
I hope my boss doesn't listen to this. If you've been watching WWE lately, you've noticed that Lord Tensai is running wild. One wrestler after another laying in his wake. Even brought out the green spew, Jamie. The green mist returned as he got a big win over John Cena. The question is, does it hurt that people remember him as Prince Albert, the A-Train? It does for me. I'm going to tell you, I think this is an interesting character, Lord Tensai. I like the fact he has a manager. I like the fact the manager throws a salt in the air. I love the green mist. That's a great part of wrestling with what we saw with Killer Khan and, you know, that act growing up. But when the whole crowd is chanting for the A-Train or whatever they want to call him because they recognize him, to me it does break the mystery a little bit. What do you think about Lord Tensai at this point?
First, Dave, what I'd like to say is that the WWE acknowledged the fact that this was formerly Prince Albert. If you went to their website, they openly admitted that Prince Albert, the story is that he went to Japan and adopted their customs. Apparently he ran into Killer Khan over there to get some of the green spew. But I like the fact that they're at least not hiding from it. I think if they hid from it, that would be bad. But they acknowledged that this used to be Prince Albert.
But let me ask you, though. Let me jump in there, because didn't they just do that after people recognized him the first time? We were in that crowd in Miami when he debuted, right?
Yes. It was the following week. So
yeah, see, that's what I wonder. Like, were they going to do that from the start?
Yep, probably not. Probably not, but better late than never.
Yeah. Oh, geez, I guess we better come up with something here. Hey, he went over there and he adopted their culture. By the way, have you ever been to the Orient?
I don't look. Well, the one man gang went to Africa and found religion. What's to say Prince Albert can't go to Japan and find it?
Well, does everyone have what looks like a tire mark across their head over there? Is that did he pick that up over there?
Oh my! If I had to live with that, I don't know what I'd do. I don't know what my wife would do to me.
Is that real? I mean, is that a real tattoo?
You know, it's funny. I TiVo'd Raw on Monday, and I had to go back and rewind it a couple times because I swear it was smearing a little bit.
Are you kidding me?
No, honest, but it wasn't. It was just beads of sweat that were sitting on top of it. I think it is real.
Oh, my God. I tell you, I don't know. There's not enough money in the world. What's stranger, Mike Tyson's face tattoo or Lord Tensai's head tattoo?
Or how about the Birdman on who's he play for now? Denver, Utah?
Oh, you don't mean Coco Beware. You mean Chris Anderson for the
Chris
Nuggets.
Anderson, yes. That's an interesting look as well.
I thought you meant the Birdman Coco Beware.
Well, we could talk about tattoos and Birdman all we want, but the bottom line is I think having Albert or Lord Tensai beat Cena on Raw was very good for him, and it leads to him being a very intriguing character. How many people can you say have beaten Cena in the last 5 years?
Well, I'll tell you, if you hang on here, I think we're in a stretch where they may have him lose a lot. I think, like you said, to kind of build up his character again. But
I might challenge him.
Yeah, start chewing on the green spew.
TNA, Impact. Hulk Hogan has, again, taken over TNA Wrestling and promises tweeting changes. I wanted to discuss two of these changes and get your thoughts, Dave. First, Hogan is holding a once-per-month open fight night where anyone can challenge anyone, and whoever is challenged must accept the challenge and wrestle. Is this a good idea or a bad idea for TNA? Now, Dave, normally I would say this is a bad idea because it makes pay-per-view matches less anticipated and less exciting. But since no one watches TNA pay-per-views, I figure maybe this is a good thing for them. What do you think?
I sound like a broken record because I think TNA has to try something different. And to me, this is something different. I kind of like it. I kind of like this. Open fight night. I'm not opposed to it. What I'm opposed to is the same old by an organization that's not, you know, making any inroads, not gaining any new viewers. I kind of like open fight night. What about you?
Well, does it take away from the pay-per-views, though, in all honesty?
I understand that. What do you mean? Well, how does it take away from the pay-per-views, which are set matches? And here, this is something that's a little bit like of a variety show or a little bit more of a special attraction.
Let's say James Storm comes out tomorrow night and challenges Bobby Roode for the title. And let's say that was set up for the main event of the next pay-per-view. Does that take away from that pay-per-view?
I don't know. We'll go on SmackDown and see Kane and Randy Orton wrestle, and then they're on the pay-per-view that following Sunday. I think when you and I were growing up, they kept apart, you know, Hogan and Macho Man until they got to WrestleMania 5 for the most part. They didn't have them wrestle because they didn't have – the programming was different. I think now you can do that. You can get guys in the ring and just have those, you know, the dirty finishes or something happen with – you know, people jumping in the ring, and it kind of builds towards a pay-per-view. I disagree with you on this. I think that it doesn't hurt the pay-per-views. I kind of like this. I want to see how it plays out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with you. TNA definitely needs to attract viewers. This could do that because you don't know what's going to happen. I'm excited to watch tomorrow and see what happens.
Listen, in the internet culture of today, where you can read SmackDown spoilers, you know, 5 minutes after they happen, if TNA can find a way to keep this as kind of a surprise, we don't know who's coming out to challenge Roode, we don't know who's going to come out to, you know, to wrestle AJ Styles. I don't know. Any kind of element of surprise, I think, at this stage of the game in the professional wrestling world is something that can interest the fans.
Yeah. Well, the big secret for tomorrow is that I'm going to come out and challenge Austin Aries.
Well, now we just blew the surprise.
Well, sorry about that. Another example of Hogan's changes is the implementation of TNA Gut Check, where a newcomer has a chance to earn a contract with TNA. Is this just a copy of WWE NXT, or is this an innovative idea for TNA? You know, Dave, it's clearly very similar to NXT. They're going to have independent wrestlers, other wrestlers come in and try to earn a contract. But if they do it the right way, and use it as not just to promote other wrestlers into TNA, but maybe also use it as squash matches at times to allow somebody to show their finishing moves and build their own character. I kind of like this idea. What do you think?
So explain it to me. Is Gut Check going to be a TV show where the entire program is built like NXT? Or what is this? Is it
once a month, Gut Check is going to allow wrestlers, you know, from the independent circuit or maybe it's from, you know, their quote, minor league system, and come in and challenge or wrestle a current roster member. And if they win, they get a TNA contract.
So all you have to do is win that one match.
That's my understanding.
If that's the way it's going to work, I absolutely love it. Again, okay. I don't want to sound like a broken record. It's different. I kind of like it.
That's what Hogan's saying, brother.
I know. Listen, what I don't like is WWE Superstars where I've got to log in to watch it.
Yeah.
you know, where every week you log in and it's Titus O'Neil versus Justin Gabriel again and again with no storyline progression, no real pathos or a reason why I'm watching this. I love the fact I could watch something on TV, and if this guy beats, you know, wrestler A beats wrestler B, he gets a contract to the main roster. What's wrong with that? To me, that sounds kind of innovative. That's how TNA has to think.
Does it hurt the current roster at all? And I thought through this. I'm not saying it does. I'm just asking you the question. Does it hurt the current roster because, you know, TNA is now focusing on someone who's not on the roster, and maybe they overlook a Kazarian or you know, an Austin Aries or someone like that in an attempt to bring in someone new?
No, I don't think it does. That's a good point, though. It's a very, very important question because it reminds me of people getting upset that The Rock was brought in to sell WrestleMania 28. You know, if Dolph Ziggler could headline WrestleMania 28 against John Cena, they would do it. It'd be cheaper. They have someone on their roster, but he can't. He's not there yet. If Kazarian or any of these other folks get upset about the fact that TNA is trying something different, you just told me last week 2,000 people came to their pay-per-view.
Yep.
Right? Nobody in TNA's locker room has the right to be offended or brushed or brittled or whatever, or fussed, whatever the word is, because this company's trying something new. I think this is interesting, and because of the fact that this is, you know, scripted entertainment, they're not going to allow just anybody. I mean, you or I aren't going to go on there and all of a sudden we're on the main roster. So I think it's an interesting stepping stone. I give Hogan credit for both these ideas.
Great. Dave, with Hogan's changes, then my question to you is Hulk Hogan good or bad for TNA? What do you think?
Well, he reminds me of Notre Dame football because there's a generation of fans now that don't remember how important Hulk Hogan was. There's a generation of college football fans that don't remember how important Notre Dame is to the history of college football. Hulk Hogan is still an enormous name. I think he's good for TNA, but I'm going to add this to my comment. He is good for TNA, but he should not be champion. He should not be driving the bus, so to speak. He should be there almost as a sympathetic character or putting other people over, using his name to attract eyeballs to the screen. Would you agree with that? I mean, I think he can still be a big player for them.
Yeah, I don't know if he brings the viewers that he obviously once did.
Yeah.
But he's still a big name in the business. Thinking through this, you know, I agree with you. He has to stay out of the backstage politics. You know, he was notorious for that with WCW and also with WWE. Provided he stays out of the backstage politics, I think he could be very valuable to the promotion. The problem is, it seems like every time he's put in this position of power, he abuses it.
Well, does the name Hulk Hogan poison the well now? In the sense that you have a lot of these young fans that just hear his name and they just roll their eyes. Because we just talked about these other segments, you know, this open fight night, this gut check. I kind of like those. I don't think Hulk Hogan should be dismissed. He's got a good mind for the business. I don't care that he knew 5 wrestling moves. The guy put asses in seats. I think he can help this company, but it's got to be in the right capacity. We talked about Eric Bischoff and his son.
Yes.
And I'm not thrilled with Eric Bischoff bringing his son in, but Eric Bischoff, again, a guy who can help if given the right amount of responsibility and the right on-screen presence.
What I don't want to see is this parlayed into a Hogan versus Flair match at an upcoming pay-per-view. I fear it could head that way based on where their lines are. But, you know, I do think Hogan can help. I've been very critical every week of TNA. I'm excited to watch tomorrow night. And, if that's what these changes do, and if other people feel like me, then that's a good thing for TNA.
Before we move on from TNA, I'm glad you brought up that how, you know, you're excited to watch the show this week. Does it help TNA that they only have one show? You know, you've got to watch Thursday night. Whereas WWE's got Monday, they got Friday, they got internet shows. How do you feel about the fact that if you want to watch TNA, boom, Thursday night, that's your show?
Well, let me say this. If they had more than one show, I just wouldn't be able to watch it. I mean,
that's a problem, right?
Yeah. I think they're doing the right thing right now. Would I like to see them travel across the country and have, you know, shows from different venues and all that? They're not there. So, yes, I like the once-per-week show. I think it's right for them right now. I just hope they start seeing some successes so they can build upon it.
Right, because we actually praised them tonight on several fronts, and yet, you know, they don't get anyone to their shows. So.
Yeah, Dixie, if you're listening, please note, we did praise you tonight.
She's hot.
Eh.
Wild card topic number one. Is someone like Colt Cabana better off in promotions like ROH, NWA, and other indies. You know, Colt Cabana, Jamie, I don't know a lot about this guy. All I ever hear about him is how he's such good friends with CM Punk, and he's beloved by the internet. Interesting to me, because if you're someone like Darren Young, you worked for WWE, but you're not as popular as Colt Cabana. You know, Colt Cabana, recent NWA world title, a lot of success, seems like he is really got a passionate following. I kind of feel like Colt Cabana is in the right spot for him. If he goes to WWE and then he's on SmackDown losing to Jinder Mahal, what did that do for his career?
Well, David, your question was, is someone like Colt Cabana better off? And my question to you is, what do you mean by better off? And in what sense?
Yeah.
You know, he's certainly not financially better off.
That's a good point.
He would be financially better off in a larger promotion.
Good point.
He's not performing in front of the largest crowds in the business. So from that standpoint, he's not better off. That said, he's enjoying success. He just won the NWA title. So from a personal satisfaction standpoint, the fact that he is a champion and he does have this cult following, if that's what is meant by better off, then yes, he certainly has that.
That's interesting. And in some ways, he's a big fish in a small pond, right? He's one of the biggest stars outside of a major promotion. What's funny about him, though, is he's got this tie with CM Punk and some other, I was reading some other WWE superstars are good friends with him, too, that it almost like his name comes up in WWE programming every now and again when Punk mentions him.
Yeah.
Which is great, great press for him. But let me ask you, he's kind of, like, he's underrated, but has it become so much that he's kind of overrated now?
Yeah, I mean, boy, you're right, Dave. I mean, at least once a month you hear Colt Cabana's name on WWE programming.
Punk gets pissed off at Laurinaitis. He's talking about Colt Cabana all the time. What?
Yeah, it's very interesting. You know, I don't know a lot about his history and so forth. But you know, how many of these guys are out there? I mean, there's so many Colt Cabanas out there. And, again, the question of whether they're better off or not, would Colt Cabana rather be in the WWE? I would think so.
Well, see, I disagree with you in that sense. There aren't a lot of him. I mean, there's a lot of indie wrestlers, obviously, but he is an actual established performer who spent time in WWE and now can kind of call his shots and go work the indie scene how he wants to work it versus, like, waiting for phone calls. So, he's in a really unique kind of gray area. For me, I would rather be in WWE no matter what. I would rather be Rosa Mendez jumping rope or walking to the ring, you know, and shaking my rear end than any other promotion, because in my opinion, I think that's where, you know, the money is and the fame and the glory and the recognition. But Colt Cabana certainly has passionate fans where he is. To me, it's a toss-up.
Yeah, I would like to see him wrestle, and you know, I think some of the NWA, some of those matches are taped online, and I really would like to go and just see how he works. He's, again, very popular guy, and you know, if you bring up his Wikipedia page, it mentions how he's been talked about on the air so many times. He was actually at the match where Punk won his first WWE title in Chicago. At that pay-per-view, Punk acknowledged him at the beginning of the match. So, I guess to be Colt Cabana right now isn't the worst thing in the world. That said, I think if the WWE called, he would jump right in.
Yeah, you have homework for next week. You got to go watch a couple matches on YouTube.
I will absolutely do that. Wild card topic number two. Did you know that there are more than 70 active wrestling promotions, excluding the big three, that are currently run throughout the United States? How much do these independent promotions help to keep pro wrestling popular? Now, Dave, we've talked on the show a number of times about how the promotions of the past, the Stampede Wrestlings and you know, the other territory-type wrestling, is a thing of the past, but there are certainly a lot of good independent promotions that kind of keep the lifeblood of pro wrestling flowing. Do you think it's helping to keep pro wrestling popular?
Oh, I absolutely do. I saw this question, and first of all, I didn't know there were 70 active promotions. So that in itself was extremely interesting to me. But I think what we got to remember is in the small towns in Alabama and the small towns in Pennsylvania. In fact, here's an example, Jamie. You live in York, Pennsylvania, and you guys have an independent league baseball team, correct?
Correct.
You've been to a game?
Correct.
Did people have a good time?
Yes, great time.
Tickets are reasonable. It's not the Baltimore Orioles. It's not the Philadelphia Phillies. But good baseball was played. Families had a good time. And I think it's exactly why these independent promotions are important. Families can go. You don't see John Cena, but you know what? For $5 a ticket, you can take your kid to, you know, sit close to the ring and see some fun wrestling. Listen, I'm biased, and maybe you are as well, because I've been a WWE fan my whole life. But there's people that don't care for that product. There's people that would rather go to their local VFW or their local high school, and they'd rather see, you know, in a crowd of 200, a couple wrestling matches and sit ringside. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you, Dave. I mean, you know, I can literally look out my window right now and see the venue where a local wrestling promotion comes and wrestles once every month, once every 2 months. You're right. They seem to cater to kids a little bit. They play to the crowd. They play to the kids. And that gets kids excited and ultimately leads them to come home and want to watch TV. And I think it actually helps promotions like the WWE and TNA because it gets kids in front of the television.
Well, it's a training ground, too. I mean, these people need some place to go to perform in front of a live. You can't put someone out in front of, you know, Madison Square Garden if they haven't run around the country and perform in front of 20 people at a high school before. They just need to get in front of people and work. I don't think I would ever start a promotion. I mean, Billy Corgan just started this promotion in the Chicago area, and I don't know, you know, I know he's got some money and name recognition behind him, but boy, would that be a business you'd want to be in?
Yeah, it has to be tough, and I haven't really thought through the model of it yet, but certainly, it doesn't draw tremendous crowds.
No.
Many times you're paying for a big name like a Sergeant Slaughter or Jimmy Snuka.
Or Mickey James, like these TNA stars who can still contract themselves out, but are they? They're not really making their money back.
That's what I'm thinking. So, you know, I like to see it. I also think it's interesting on the distribution of content for some of these. We may have mentioned before in a previous show how some of these independent promotions will distribute their content by DVD. Some of them are now going on, you know, they're showing online video and so forth. I think that makes it a little more interesting. It's not sitting down like we did as kids and watching NWA, AWA, World Class Championship Wrestling, but the fact that you can go online and watch, you know, some of these independent promotions, I think is interesting.
It is, and let's also say for someone like Nikolai Volkoff that still wrestles around the country on occasion, it's kind of nice for him. I mean, you know, if your career ended when you got cut by WWE or TNA or whatever, it'd be kind of sad. You know, these independent promotions give guys who love to wrestle an opportunity to wrestle. So
the thing you have to be careful of is, you know, there was an incident with Scott Hall earlier in the year, year ago. Jake the Snake Roberts has had some issues. And look, if you're doing this for the kids, you want to give wrestling a good name. And you really have to be careful of that. Blast from the past. Dave, I did some research to find the oldest copy of Pro Wrestling Illustrated that I could find. It was a September 1979 issue. And the cover was very interesting. It discussed wrestlers like Mil Máscaras, Dusty Rhodes, Rick Steamboat, not Ricky, at the time it was Rick Steamboat, Harley Race, Bob Backlund, Nick Bockwinkle, Andre the Giant, and Bruno Sammartino.
Wow, Hall of Famers.
Oh, how many of them are Hall of Famers? I know Bruno's not, but you know, these magazines were such a big part of my past. Did you ever buy these magazines as a kid?
Yeah, well, first of all, Bruno should be. I bought them as a kid because that was your authoritative source on information. We didn't have the internet back then. I remember the two things that stood out to me on those magazines. And first of all, I like the fact that they covered all the promotions. So you'd have, like, Hulk Hogan on the cover with the Road Warriors. You could read about, you know, NWA and WWF and, you know, whoever else is out there, AWA. So I like the fact you buy one magazine, you could read about the different promotions. I loved two things, Jamie. I loved the rankings. Like,
I have it written down. That was the best part.
The rankings were great. Here's the Intercontinental Champion. Here are the contenders. And, you know, it was great. Or here's the Tag Team Champions. Here are the contenders in the AWA, the NWA. I love the rankings. And I love the house show results.
Yes. I forgot about the house show results, but you're right. That was very interesting. And I guess that's maybe what started opening my eyes to say, boy, this isn't the first time these guys wrestled. I thought WrestleMania was the first time these guys wrestled.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And in fact, at the Cauliflower Alley Club last week, they have a memorabilia fair. They have an area you can go where people come in and sell a lot of old wrestling merchandise. And I'm telling you, one of the biggest sellers are these Pro Wrestling Illustrateds, are these types of magazines, because it is such a trip down memory lane. I mean, you see magazines with Hulk Hogan from the AWA on the cover, and you're thinking, oh my God, how he changed the course of wrestling history when he went to the next promotion working for Vince. These magazines are really, really fascinating. It's sad to me that they've been overridden or replaced by the internet in that regard, because they were fun.
Yeah, it was interesting when I was perusing all of the covers of the various magazines. You know, there was one from, you know, Hulk Hogan was in it from the early 80s before he became popular, and Ernie Ladd was just taking him to town. He was body slamming him, and, you know, it's just funny. The other thing I liked about the magazines were the merchandise section.
Mm.
I liked, you know, these weren't WWE merchandise. This was just general stores selling general items, such as belts, masks, etc. For some reason, I was always attracted to that. I love the masks. I love the belts. I didn't buy anything, but I was always interested to see what was in there.
And a lot of times those magazines had ads for like 3D goggles and all kinds of crazy stuff. It was just it was the best money you could spend.
Yeah, honestly, I remember going to a local place that you're familiar with, Bookland.
And
I went to two places. I went to the comic book section because you know how much I like comic books.
We just lost some listeners.
And then I went over to the wrestling magazine section. Good times. I mean, just again, this is a blast from the past that it means a lot to me in my heart.
That's funny. I went to the wrestling section and I went to the adult section.
Let's cut that, Dave. Well, Dave, I think that's all for this week. What do you think?
Wow, let's slow down there because, you know, I have been waiting to get something off my chest, Jamie. Every week I let you get something off your chest. You think everyone wants to hear what you think about X, Y, and Z. Well, I got something to say.
Yeah, it sounds like you're disturbed about something.
I'm pretty upset. Well, maybe not upset because I'm disturbed. Did you know that it was the 100-year anniversary of the Titanic?
I did.
Or as Jimmy Fallon calls it, the Titanic. You know, look, I understand this 100-year celebration and honoring something that was extremely important. And it's a tragic story. There's no way around it. What I don't understand is why we had to have another movie made about Titanic. I think if it was on ABC, it was this two-night special event movie. Are you kidding me? In 1997, the Oscar-winning movie Titanic was released by James Cameron. It was a sensational movie. I don't want to hear anyone out there say, oh, it's just a chick flick with a Celine Dion song. It is a great movie. Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, who have now become, ironically, two of the best actors of our generation, were fantastic in this movie. Kathy Bates, the whole cast is perfect. The movie is fantastic. Why would they remake this into some television film just to honor the 100-year celebration? You want to honor the Titanic in the 100 years and go back in history, watch James Cameron's original movie that won a boatload of Oscars, no pun intended. I feel better.
A boatload of Oscars. I will say there was a good scene in that movie when Leonardo DiCaprio was doing a sketch, if I recall. But besides that,
don't let go, Jamie.
Jack. Great movie. I agree with you. It ranks up there as one of the great movies of all time. So I understand you being disturbed with that.
I understand.
Dave, can I talk about something real quick?
I'm ready to wrap the show. What's going on here?
Well, I just want to be brief about this, but. You know, I've been flying a lot lately. As you know, my family and I we're relocating to Indianapolis, and
yep.
We've been flying out there quite a bit. And you know,
you're the number one pick in the draft tomorrow night, right?
I'm very excited. I will be locked in front of the TV. As you know, I'm a very big Colts fan.
Yep.
So you know, I've flown many different airlines over the years, and I have to say that Southwest just gets it right.
Hmm.
I love that boarding is on a first-come, first-served basis, or at least it's based on when you check in
right.
Online. If you want better seating, you pay for it. It's as simple as that. Getting people on the plane is very orderly. There's no drama. Sit where you want to sit based on what's available. So, Dave, I have to say my yes, yes, yes award this week goes to Southwest Airlines. By the way, I still dislike line jumpers. You know what I mean by line jumpers, Dave?
Sure I do.
It's, you know, I'm getting out of the plane, and There's somebody like they're running from the Bulls of Spain, running down the aisle to get in front of me. I don't like that. But,
what are the Bulls of Pamplona? Is that what they
call it? That's what I was looking for, the Bulls of Pamplona. But regardless, that happens on every flight. Southwest, you do it right. Don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. You can email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM. That's OWWCOM, to get all program updates and announcements. We will also be posting directly to the official OWW Radio Facebook homepage. So until next time, I'm Jamie.
This is David, and Jamie, this was a fun show tonight. I really enjoyed it.
It really was. And, you know, again, for the listeners out there, email us. Let us know what you want to hear. We want to talk about it. We hope you enjoy the program this week and every week, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio.